everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Brian Beeler, captain of the Storage Review Ship. In the podcast studio today, we've got Kevin Labmaster.
Yeah, breaking stuff as usual.
We've got Adam the Newsman.
You're working as usual.
And from long distance, the far northwest, we've got Tom, our resident jerk.
Well, thanks, Brian. Hey, I really like that new intro music you're playing there.
That's great, because as we're recording this live, we can't hear it, but Kevin did play it for you. So why don't we just get right into the podcast music update. Podcast 1 and 2, since we came back, did not have any music, didn't have any sound effects, really didn't have much production value at all. But we do have music. What's going on?
So my cousin Bill Franco down in Nashville, actually, he was able to help us out with that delightful guitar and drum work.
Is Nashville known for their music? Is that a thing?
Yes, I think so. Last time I was down there, it seemed to be a recurring theme.
Yeah, I know they got a lot of honky tonks down there and Dollywood and that sort of thing.
Can he help us with sound effects?
Ooh,
like Three possibly Stooges noises.
You know, I'll have to find out.
Copyright free.
Yeah, we can capture Kevin drilling holes into things.
Yeah, we can always have an exploratory hole.
Yeah, that sounds
an exploratory hole.
Kevin's well known in the Cincinnati office for, probing into.
There's always a draft here.
Surface, yeah. He's running cables. He's drilling holes into things. Sometimes
drill
for
first,
no
ask questions later.
We'll have a whole podcast on exploratory holes.
We probably should. And no electrocutions yet.
Yeah, do we got a name for that intro music? I would suggest Enter Storage Man.
Enter Storage Man. Hmm.
Yeah.
We could parlay that into a whole nother podcast. We also have another update. It came to my attention that you're supposed to be marking podcasts with the explicit warning if they have off-color commentary or language. And we didn't have a whole lot of off-color commentary, but I did call Tom a dick in the last podcast. So I'm going to put it out there right now. There's a high chance anytime Tom and I are involved in the same podcast that profanity will happen. If that's a problem, pause now, listen later is my suggestion until we can figure out how to put that little E thing on the podcast. The other big news, I know everyone's been wanting to know about this, and we apologize for not posting an update last week over the holiday. The cowboy hat situation is still unresolved. I've been told by people very high up, very close to Michael Dell in the Dell Technologies organization, that the cowboy hat should be here this week. As we record this at 2 p.m. on Eastern on Friday, there's no cowboy hat, so I'm going to have to escalate this. This could be a board matter.
Next time I run into Michael Dell, I will ask him
about the hat. Yeah, he was wearing a VMware ball cap at VMworld, and I didn't know about the cowboy hat at that time. But next time, especially if I see him in a hat, I'll be asking about the hat.
Wow. Patrick, when I was sneaking in his office, there might have been hats, but I didn't get that far. Yeah, security stopped me.
Get the secrets next time. Patrick from Serve the Home said he traveled home with his hat, which was an option. As I look back now, I sort of regret it, but on that little plane we have from Austin back to Cincinnati, a hat box is, I wouldn't wear it, but a hat box is relatively large.
You'd ask a flight attendant to wear it.
I don't think that's out of uniform. I don't think they can do that.
Well, fly Southwest or something with a little more relaxed.
This is Delta. Yeah. It's not some crap airline. They've got rules. Delta's got there civilized.
There goes our Southwest.
Civilized society.
You didn't get to fly the Dell jet coming back? What's up with that?
That's a good question. I don't know about that. Maybe we should ask, but Kevin once got a personal drive from Michael's security to the airport.
Yeah, the head of security, they forgot to pick me up after I switched hotels. And I got a delightful pickup by someone that handles the personal security for Michael Dell and the other top executives.
Yeah, he was at that round table we did in Austin. Anyway, no hat. I'm desperate to be a fancy cowboy with my gray hat. I will someday be a fancy cowboy. That day is not today. Tom, you went to the Portland V-Mug recently this week. How did that go? What's the status of V-Mugging in the Northwest?
Yeah, it was yesterday, Thursday. It was good. I think maybe 150, 200 people showed up. The one thing that kind of stuck out for me is that there's a VMware guy, Tristan Todd, who did a session on Kubernetes with the vSphere, and both the sessions were sold out. All the seats were filled. So a lot of interest in that. Talked to a few people about that, and a lot of interest, not a lot of implementation yet.
Well, that sounds pretty consistent, I suppose. When you look at the audience at the vMUGs, you've been to VMworld several times. I get the feeling that you're getting more practitioners at the vMUGs. Is that still the case? I haven't been to one in some time.
Yeah, absolutely. These are the hands-on guys. These guys like talking technology. Not a lot of upper-level guys, but they do like talking tech.
Was there a Imagine Dragons, or was there a concert of some sort at the end of the vMUG?
No, there was a little Muzak in the elevator, and that was about it.
Nice. There wasn't even like a happy hour or something like that. That's always the best part of these events.
Yeah, they were passing out free beers there the last hour, and they did some giveaways. And as soon as the giveaways were gone, the crowd kind of dispersed.
That was it. Yeah. Adam's gone to, you've been to what, Columbus VMUG or Cincinnati?
I've been to Cincinnati twice, Columbus once, and Indianapolis once.
Wow, that's three cities. Yeah. Indy's got a big one, don't they?
Yeah, that was the really big one. They had that random name generator that got hung up on my name for the prizes, so it generated my name like 6 or 7 times.
That's always curious when a media guy wins several prizes at a VMUG.
Like, this is suspicious.
Yeah, and then we wrote 6 really good VMware articles after that, didn't we? Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Adam's going to take over the news today. You know, the reason why Adam's here is not because of anything personal before, but Kevin has invested mightily in new podcasting gear. So before, where we had two mics designed more for one-on-one chat, we now have one. We've got three in here now.
Yeah, support for a total of 7. Though.
Ooh, we can support 7 mics. We have 4 in the lab. We've got the podcast studio. We've got Tom remote, but Adam is here. Adam's going to talk about the most popular news since we spoke last. Bubbling up to the top of the list is what, Adam?
Intel released a new QLC SSD, the 665P. It goes up to 2 terabytes. QLC is generally thought of like as a value SSD versus a performance one, but Intel is promising better performance and 1.5 times the endurance.
Yeah, it was the endurance on that 660 that made people nervous, wasn't it?
Well, that in our review compared to the other drives, it didn't look great. I mean, by itself, it was.
Yeah, we had to change the entire way we tested it since it just crushed the QLC products.
Well, that's not its fault or Intel's fault specifically. It's an architectural limitation behind quad-level NAND, right?
It's inexpensive. It's it's still faster than a hard drive. That was more the marketing position. Well, once we compared it to like really fast SSDs, it didn't look so good.
No. So when you made changes to your testing platform for QLC drives, what did you have to do, Kevin?
We normally test a 5% of the total capacity for consumer products. We had to lower that to 1% for the QLC to kind of fit inside their SLC cache.
And for end users, it's probably fine. The people buying the budget notebooks at Best Buy or whatever, they're getting an SSD.
It's going to be a hell of a lot better than stuck with a 5400 RPM hard drive.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So, still a good product.
What else happened?
The PowerEdge R640 got...
Ooh, we got that review out again. The second time, right?
Yeah, retrofitted, I guess, with the second generation Intel scalable processors.
Yeah, we moved that up from the 8180s that we tested prior to the 8280s, which had significant changes. So, some pretty good performance improvements, mostly from the... increase in clock speed per core. So you went from around 140 gigahertz total to 151.2 gigahertz. And there's also the improvement in the memory speed. So you go from 2666 to 2933. Then obviously PMEM support and other goodies.
Oh, he's stealing my notes.
Ooh,
hacker. It gives you a good performance bump plus Optane persistent memory support. Our numbers, our highlights, we had 2.6 million IOPS read and 1.2 million IOPS write in 4K. And bandwidth for 64K sequential was 13.3 gigabytes per second read and 5.57 gigabytes per second.
That's not bad out of a little one user.
Yeah, a little tiny.
A rack of those things could move some data.
I don't think we had PMEM in it either, did we?
No, that one did not.
Yeah, potentially you could see much higher performance.
All right, what else we have?
And the other thing I have is the Proxmox VE. is now on version 6.1. It's open source virtualization platform. It's really popular with a lot of people. It's free.
The Home Labbers. Well, you said the key word right there. Free.
Free. Well, I think it's free and is does well. I mean, there's lots of free things out there that
suck. Yeah.
Yeah. It just make you want to throw your computer out the window.
Someone on our subreddit was commenting. I don't honestly know a lot about Proxmox myself. I know it's popular. There were some comments about the usability of certain standard functions getting a little bit easier, more fluid.
Networking reset now can be done with a click of a button in the GUI versus redoing the whole thing.
All right.
And what we covered was, you know, the usual suspects for an update, bug fixes, general improvements, and they have cluster stability and HA migration option. So
I think they had some, didn't they have some container or something rather in there as well?
I think they already had.
Yeah, all right. Everyone's got containers these days. Hey, Tom, you did that review on the HP Thin Client. That thing did amazingly well on the site. I think people are excited to think about thin clients outside of, you know, sort of the image we conjure up from years back, sort of a crappy box on the desk that doesn't do anything and is probably covered in dust. The HP is not dusty, is it?
No. Here, let me get that out. There we go. Okay, there we go. You can take care of that in post, can't you?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, it's the MT45. It's a laptop form factor thin client. It runs Windows 10 IoT. I've never worked with Windows 10 IoT, and it actually worked out pretty good. Pretty impressed with it. And this thing's on par with an Apple Mac Air or maybe a Dell EXPS 13, something like that.
From a design standpoint.
It's a good looking unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a chance to also run HP RGS as the remote display protocol. Really impressed with that. Our friends over at LeoStream hooked me up with a virtual desktop for that, and really, really performant. So impressed with that. It has a Ryzen 3 Pro 3300U. CPU. Again, never worked with an AMD chip on a thin client, and this thing, it rocked. It really, really performant. Had the full keyboard. It had all the standard connectivities, as well as the NXP near field communication module. So I think that's the one you can use to connect up directly to cell phones and stuff. So this thing was made for executives. It was made for upper level users.
Well, the thought around mobile VDI has always been sort of in two camps of either it's great or it's impossible to execute well. What, I mean, you spend more time on VDI than the three of us in this room combined. What do you think about the mobility now in a persistent desktop?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's definitely there. As long as you got the internet, you know, connectivity, there's no reason, If you need a secure back end, you shouldn't be using it.
Actually, when we went to take photos, we got confused opening it because we thought it was a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can't tell, right?
Yeah, I opened it up and I'm like, no, this is just a regular laptop. Yeah. Where is the thin client?
You booted it up.
Adam's on Slack or iMessage or something. He's like, I can't find the thin client. I can't find the thin client. I'm like, HP sent a couple. Yeah. It's in a box. I threw it on the floor in your room.
We have this nice laptop down here, but yeah, the thin client.
So I guess that's a good sign when you start conning people that are used to playing with laptops all day into a thin client looking and feeling. And does it smell like a laptop too? I did not sniff it. All right.
Yeah. Did you think it was on par with something like an XPS or a Mac Air?
Yeah. Like I said, I was confused. I actually added it to our review list of laptops. It's not a workstation, but it's not definitely not a thin client. Look at it.
Yeah, it's pretty sharp. The other big news is around Seagate, right? They've got a new technology?
Well, the actuator. They've had it for 2 years. They announced it 2 years ago, but they have two actuator arms to double. Well, they claim it could double performance. Microsoft has validated to almost double performance. So
I'm still not completely sold on that since say you double performance, you're still going from, 100 to 200 IOPS or 200 to 400 IOPS. That's a gigantic difference between even SATA products that are going at 50 or 60,000 IOPS.
SATA SSD, you mean?
Yeah, so you're extending the technology, but you're probably adding costs, you're increasing complexities, so there's more components to fail, and it's really a shift of how much farther can you bring the hard drive in the enterprise space where you look at Flash, Flash costs more, but you can run data reduction to bring that cost down.
Yeah, that's the trick, right? Because they always pitch these things in content delivery networks, archive tier, cloud tier, that sort of thing, where performance is less an issue. But you're right, when you do dedupe on top of Flash and you account for the lower total cost of ownership with energy consumption, cooling requirements, and that sort of thing. I tend to agree. It feels difficult in terms of headwinds for hard drive.
Yeah, they didn't run those numbers, but their pitch was more of a specific use case, and the idea that you could use these 14 terabyte was the kind of the maximum capacity of IOPS they could hit with this technology.
Right.
And you could use a 14 terabyte hard drive versus a 15 terabyte SSD, which...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so cheaper, we don't know how much it costs. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Do each of those arms articulate separately then?
Yeah, yes. That's the play, is each top and bottom can kind of rotate and move independently.
So those arms are kind of flopping around like one of those blow-up things in front of Little Caesar's Pizza.
Yeah. Wacky, wavy, inflatable Tube Man.
I'd like to think they're a little more rigid than Tube Man, because those platters, while they're oh so strong in a shielded metal case, they're also pretty easy to break once they're exposed.
A new marketing idea for Seagate.
Yeah, I don't know. Tom, I don't think Seagate's going to reach out to you for marketing ideas on the Mach 2 dual actuators. Oh, my gosh. You know, speaking of nonsense, in local news, which I think is important to cover in an IT podcast, I was, right before we came in here, I was showing Kevin, did you guys see the Santa being arrested at Procter & Gamble yesterday? All right, so P&G's headquarters is downtown Cincinnati, and... I feel bad for animals. Animals and kids are kind of two causes I think we can all get behind. Santa and a number of reindeer and some carolers were all protesting toilet paper. Apparently Charmin, which is a Procter & Gamble brand, does not use recycled paper in their toilet paper because they want it to be soft and cuddly, and they promise they plant a tree for every tree they use. And the Santa that was there protesting with his coal said they're killing caribou. So their hashtag was wipe right on their sign. So if you're concerned about wiping toilet paper and caribou, I guess you check that out. Other big news. What's the latest in this room?
And
You've got more on that?
Yeah, SantaCon is a big thing here in Portland. Where a bunch of people dress up like Santa and go just get ripped drunk and wander around the different bars in Portland. It's going to happen December 21st in Stumptown, so feel free to come out.
Will you be in on that?
Well, I'll be dressed as Santa, so you won't be able to tell who I am. But
You can tell easily.
Yeah, I think so. that's pretty special. Tom, are you watching The Mandalorian on Disney Plus?
No, but I heard it's good. I hear they have a little baby Brian.
Spoilers.
Something. I don't know what.
He looks a little like me sometimes, but the baby Yoda. The show has obviously central themes, but everyone agrees that baby Yoda is the winner in this
thing. It's fantastic. I mean, it just tickles my heart. Seeing the little baby Yoda play with the controls in that spacecraft.
You were thinking about your own little test lab nut days when you were a baby test lab nut, huh?
Well, yeah, and I have two kids, so it's like you can see the kids play stuff, and it's like they accidentally press the wrong thing and the lab explodes and whatnot.
That might happen in our lab.
There's a good chance of that. We have had one thing catch fire in the lab, but it wasn't, to be fair, Kevin's fault. No, The Mandalorian's fantastic. The Baby Yoda's fantastic. I was reading that parents are frustrated because there's no Mandalorian gear this year.
Oh, it's
Christmas.
Coming out. Someone has the Baby Yoda for pre-order already. It's like $20.
The plush?
Yes.
With like a little 8-inch dude?
Probably around that
They
size.
Will sell the shit out of that thing. Kids everywhere are disappointed, but Favreau said they did that on purpose, because they didn't want the concept of the little Yoda leaking out ahead of the show. So if they had plush ready day one, they would have had to start 6 months ago, and then leaks happen, and baby Yoda is known to everyone before the show starts.
No longer be cute. It would destroy the show.
He's so cute, though. In the memes, even if I hate the meme, just the little baby Yoda, like with the variety of positions he's put in, he's just so damn cute. I was gone over Thanksgiving holiday, but the Irishman, or as Kevin calls it, Irishmon, in some sort of Irish Jamaican hybrid, is out on Netflix. Have you guys checked that out yet?
I'm into the first hour.
You're in an hour. You're not in at all?
Not yet, no. I have a plane ride coming up.
Oh, you're going to download it. Tom, have you seen this yet?
I heard about this, and yeah, it looks like it's 3.5 hours, just incredibly long, right?
Yeah, I finished last night. There was a stat that came out today that on launch day, it was only completed by 18% of the people that started watching it in the U.S., so that makes sense. It's long. It's heavy on dialogue. It's good. The de-aging thing, though, is really the story, right? They've taken a hell. Adam, you're the movie guy. How old's De Niro now?
Mid 70s, I'd say.
75, something like that.
Somewhere in there.
So they've brought him back down to what, like mid. Well, you didn't see it yet, but like mid 30s. You were talking to me yesterday about the technology for this. They use prior acting and video stuff.
Yeah, that's why. Like, more famous examples: Captain Marvel and Samuel Jackson. It was easier to de-age him because he's been acting since the late 70s, early 80s. So they have all these examples. Versus somebody that just got into acting, it would be
that
harder.
Doesn't have much.
The kids from It, they had a lot more trouble de-aging them for the sequel.
I didn't see either one.
Yeah.
How is It?
I saw the first chapter, the first 3 hours of it, not the second 3 hours yet.
All right.
Still miss Tim Curry, but.
Tim Curry?
Yeah, he was in the television miniseries.
I remember him from Clue. He was phenomenal in Clue.
Yeah, he was good as Pennywise in the. It's the only reason.
Wait. He was in Rocky Horror Picture Show, right?
Yep.
And Home Alone. Okay. Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2.
Oh, really? Oh.
Dear Lord. Yeah. What's that? I'm seeing the movie tomorrow night, Knives Out. Daniel Craig in it, and it's sort of got a Clue-esque sort of feel to it, I think.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good.
Yeah, we're going to go see that. I'll have to report back on that. Tom, you what's your latest input on movies, music, or TV?
TV, I just realized Shameless season 10 is coming out, so I'm going to kind of check that out this weekend.
Kevin was just talking about that, weren't you?
Yeah, I wrapped up season 9, I think, but I haven't caught up on the most recent.
The other thing I stumbled into this week is that BMW's CarPlay situation is finally resolved.
That's hilarious. I mean,
you get so mad, Kevin.
Everyone else can give it away for free, and for some reason, BMW is like, to provide the quality of service, we have to charge you.
Well, it's bullshit. Everyone knows it is. And this goes back to my fundamental theory on BMWs, is that most people that have BMWs are assholes. Not everybody.
Well, I mean, they also lack the ability to put on turn signals.
Tom, do you have something to say?
As the proud owner of a Z3, I can, you know, definitely confirm that.
Yes, you're doing nothing to dissuade me. I've never met anyone that I really like that drives a BMW.
Oh, no, my cousin's pretty nice. He has a...
the one that did the music?
Yes.
Oh, I love BMW people.
Yeah, the best.
Yeah. Music, free music for our...
Although he's in the SUVs, not the cars. There may be a subtle difference there.
Okay, so who's the bigger jerk? The guy that owns the BMW or the one that owns the BMW and pays for CarPlay?
I don't know. I think it's BMW that's the jerk for the CarPlay thing. Right. There's no reason for that.
There goes the BMW sponsorship.
Yeah, we really need to line up a sponsor for this podcast, and BMW is not going to be it.
Southwest on that either.
All right, what's going on in the lab, Kevin? We had a guest in the lab this week. Formulas Black was in. How did that go?
It went pretty well. Smooth install on our Lenovo SR950, and
30 seconds. What do they do so that people that don't know the name?
They kind of virtualize how you look at PMEM. So instead of having to worry about the individual namespaces per CPU, you can get this continuous pool of PMEM storage and kind of take out chunks as you need it with locality. And overall, apparently you get higher performance, and we're testing it out now.
Yeah, we've got that running in our Lenovo SR950 that's full of persistent memory. Tom, you've done a lot of work with Formulas Black in the past. You did a Gorilla Guide on that. What stands out to you is something interesting there. I think it's a cool company and a neat technology, but what stands out to you?
You know, I think PMEM is a great technology looking for a use case, and maybe Formulas Black is it. You know, it just makes this real high performance file system that you don't need to re-architect your entire environment to use. Just kind of plop your bits on it and get some, it looks like some incredible performance. I'm really excited to see what you guys do with your testing on it, you know, because PMEM's been out there, but I think it is looking for a use case.
Yeah, we went to Skyline with the Formulas Black guy that came out, and I don't know. Most of you guys probably have no idea what Skyline is, but
Skyline Chili.
Yeah, Skyline Chili. It's funny when we have companies come in and we're just looking for something quick to do because they're normally working in the lab with Kevin. I give them two choices: New York Deli or Cincinnati Chili. That half the people that eat it hate it, and I give him credit. The guy went, he said, let's go to Skyline, and he got the four-way onion with the, I think he got the onion, or did he get the bean?
He got onion.
He got the onion. Yeah, so it's spaghetti. It's this thin chili on top with a nice big stack of cheese. That's a three-way. If you want a four-way, you can add beans or onions, or if you're feeling adventurous, you can get beans and onions and make it a five-way. It's not good for you. It's not healthy. You probably shouldn't eat it more than once a month, but it's delicious.
Although I had Gold Star for the first time about a week ago. I'm almost leading in that direction.
There is a big war in Cincinnati between the Gold Star fans and the Skyline fans.
Gold Star's bullshit.
And probably the same thing.
Aren't those guys from the East Coast? Aren't they New Jersey?
No, get out of here with that garbage. I'm going to cut you off, Tom. You're also working, Kevin, with Unity, the Dell EMC, Unity XT, and Faction for the DRAS solution. How's that going?
It's doing pretty well. We actually have a nice IPsec link through our firewall out to
Virginia somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't write down where the data center is located. All I know is that it's working and there has not been problems.
I know where it is because someone said Western Virginia and I thought they said West Virginia, and there sure as hell isn't a data center, or at least that I know of, for this level of replication in West Virginia, even though that would be a little closer to Cincinnati. Cumulo, I know you had some calls on that. We're working again still with the their NAS solution. How's that going so far?
Yeah, they'll be coming out, I think, in the next few weeks to help on the deployment and get that up and running.
It's not yet unboxed, but you already broke something, yeah?
No, I'm trying not to break anything yet.
That's not entirely true. Didn't you do something on the networking front already to screw this thing up?
No, I'm looking at things, and there's an area that caused us some trouble early on with our switching environment that we'll have to tackle for this review.
Yeah. Oh, boy, we got so much going on in the lab. I was thinking it'd be kind of nice to not have much travel left.
Well, we finished up another backup software review.
Oh, right, we got Zerto done.
Yeah, Zerto 7.5. Really easy to install, covers disaster recovery as well, which not all kind of cover that segment, and really easy to install the manager on existing VM in your infrastructure. We installed in one of our Windows Server VMs that we have in the lab already, and then auto deploys its little appliance in your VMware or Hyper-V environment for handling backups. But overall, it's a really easy and slick interface to use. And I'm glad we're kind of working through that segment.
What hardware do you have that set up on? Not for the VM, but the backup targets.
Backup on the replication side, we were pushing that out to our in-lab Exagrid. And then for the initial storage, we were using our NetApp A200.
Your all-flash A200?
Yeah.
For backup?
Yes.
Perfect. Just like everyone else does, back up to all flash. So we've got a number of projects ongoing that we're going to try to keep up with and keep you guys updated with. Adam, you're gone all next week in hopefully sunny California, but I hear a storm is a brewing out there.
Sunnyvale.
So. Yeah, no, I think you're about to get hammered with something soon. Who are you seeing? You're doing the IT press tour out there next week. What are some of the highlights that you'll be meeting with?
This year it is, or this time, Actifio, Hedvig through Commvault, Nexenta, Tejao, Tentri, and WhamCloud through DDN.
Yeah.
Haiku, Igneous, Comprise, MinIO, Portworks, ThorCentric, it was Vexata, Nexana, Drobo, Scale Computing, and VMware. So.
Dear Lord, that's a busy agenda. So they run you guys around two or three companies a day?
2 to 3 a day, and lot driving in between. If you look at the schedule, it looks like we have tons of free time, but we are in minivans.
Yeah.
Slowly driving around California.
Like with the bag over your head as they take you secretly from place to place.
Yeah, black bag us. So
we Tom, you had a night like that with a bag over your head, didn't you?
No, I thought we agreed not to talk about that.
Fantastic.
Hey, I'll be in San Jose Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe you should meet up at them.
Perhaps.
Yeah, maybe if they've got time to stop eating.
Drive up next to the van and we'll roll down the windows.
Yeah, talk through the window.
I'll drive up on them, yeah.
I'm headed out to Denver, which I'm also a little worried about the storm coming in. Have several meetings out there to catch up with
Did they drop ship cars for you out there? Because apparently there was a rental company
started on
that apparently had no cars whatsoever in that area.
Have you guys been to the Denver car complex to rent a car?
It's gigantic.
It's huge. Tom, you ever been out there? It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, way out. Yeah, you got to take the bus to get
to
it.
Yeah, you take a bus. But they've got... Denver is not an inconsequential city, and they've got billions of cars out there for the skiers and the business people and the vacationers and whatever else. And so we always book with Hertz because, I don't know, we get a good deal through Delta or something. So I'm going through doing the search, waiting for the cars to pop up, and it says, no, there's an error. We can't complete your reservation. And so, of course, I just think it's some internet nonsense and do it again. Error, 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 error. So I tried the website. I was on my mobile to go to the website on a real computer. There are no cars available, which has got to be crap, right? There's no way that Hertz that has hundreds, if not thousands of cars, including what they have last time we were out there, like 15 or 20 Range Rovers out front and Maserati.
A ton of high. Yeah, they were the ones that wanted to give us the Maserati for like an $80 upgrade.
Yeah, an $80 upgrade on the Maserati, which we did not do. Anyway, they've got all these premium cars out there and they're like, no cars. So I called the number because I just hate idiocy and I was in for more of it. Called the 800 number, you wait 5 or 10 minutes, get the person on the line. And you have to start the whole thing, right? Like, where do you want to go and what days and what time and what kind of car? And I said, give her all the information. No cars. I'm like, this is why I called you. I know you're saying there are no cars. There's no way there are no cars. I feel like that old Seinfeld episode where he's like, you know how to take the reservation. Anyway, so she said, well, hold on. I'll call the airport and see what's up.
Yeah, have them look around.
Yeah, poke your head out and see what's going on. So 5 minutes of crappy hold music and she comes back. No one will answer the phone. I'm like, yes. So now you're feeling my pain. This whole situation is a train wreck. What's going on? She said, I'm going to put you on hold one more time and I'll call him again. So I'm on hold. While I'm sitting there, someone else picks up the line and is like, yeah, welcome to Hertz. How can I help you today? I'm like, no, they just... I was so close to an answer. Someone somehow hijacked the line and started the conversation over, at which point I tried to explain the situation and then became so frustrated I hung up in disgrace. So then you do the thing where you're like, all right, do I keep refreshing this thing, waiting for the thing that I know is broken to eventually show me cars or move on? I opted to move on and I started looking at the other places, and we don't use them very often, but I was on Avis and I was yelling at Kevin down the hallway. Because you're going through the thing, it's like Avis Elite Program. I'm like, all right, this sounds like me. Ford Explorer. That is not...
No, that's not you.
Okay, Explorer is a nice car, though. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Would you call it an elite car?
No, that's the minivan.
the elite minivan?
Yes.
Wait, where'd we have... Didn't we have one of those somewhere? No, I had one in Sacramento driving to Folsom. The last thing they had was a minivan. And that was the one where the panel kept going out. The whole center console kept flashing and the gas light and engine light came on. I barely limped that thing back.
The cars used to worry about spilled milk in the backseat.
I like when we were in Nashua and they said, you can have this car or a Dodge Dart. And we're like, well, we don't want the Dodge Dart. So we took this car, which was a Dodge Dart.
Yeah, so there was that. The moral of that story was, though, last night I was refreshing the Hertz results because I didn't like my choices at Avis. Plus, Avis wanted like $70 a day for the lost damage waiver thing. And lo and behold, refresh, Hertz thing has cars. I booked a Hertz car. I have a Hertz car, and they were all full of shit and should have listened to me in the first place. That's all I've got today. What do you guys, anything
Wait,
else?
are you gonna go visit in Colorado? You can't end
Oh,
end with that.
you want me to tell you the secrets?
Can you? Maybe you can't.
I don't know.
Stay tuned for the next episode.
Who's
a cliffhanger?
Who's in charge of this? I think I could probably tell you if I wanted to. Let's see. I got. I'm going to go out to Boulder and visit with some friends in the NetApp region over there. The HCI guys, Kevin. Actually, you and Kevin met with NetApp out at KubeCon, so this is some follow up there around their solutions for containers, which is. Which is pretty cool. Gonna go visit Seagate out there. They're up north there in Longmont.
Yeah, my hometown.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That's your hometown? What is there anything special I should do while in Longmont? I've got another hour.
Nope. Nope.
All right. I'm gonna swing back through and hit visit Spectralogic. It's been a number of it's been a while since we've seen them in person.
They have,
and
their summit is weird. They don't have it every year. They have it every
right,
couple
they do
years.
That yeah. summit every so often. Visit with Kioxia's got some people out there. We've got another thing with the Dell EMC.
Wait,
Kioxia.
I said it wrong again?
who are they?
The artist previously known as Toshiba.
They were the guys, those odd guys that like designed memory way back in the day, invented the space.
One day, some guy's going to show up at our door and just beat the crap out of me for saying their name wrong over and over again. And then I'm going to visit with the Dell Storage guy. So I've got a busy couple days. Between Adam and I think we're going to visit close to 20 companies next week. So we've got a lot going on. We will be back with a podcast next Friday. We'll get together on the 13th and do this all again. Oh, wait, is the exit music happening right now?
No, it will be happening soon.
Now?
I won't be in that podcast.
Is it happening yet?
No.
Like right now? You're not cutting it in, playing it over me, asking where the music is?
No, not yet.
Shit. All right, well, you can keep up with us on the site, of course, storagereview.com. Email us at info@storagereview.com. Twitter and our new hot, hot, hot Instagram profile, @storagereview. And the new Storage Review subreddit, /r/storagereview on Reddit. Find us there, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.